You know, I think the biggest thing is most agents and professionals in general.
So the big question is, what are top agents doing to absolutely crush it in real estate, grow their teams and add more transactions year over year while so many struggle? To get the answers, we interview top real estate agents to learn their secrets to success. Listen, we believe every agent should make a minimum of $100,000 per year, and we're on a mission to make this happen. We've already helped over 100 agents achieve this with our coaching. So if you want to fast track your business growth, get to your first $100,000 in GCI or add another $100,000 in GCI using social strategies, then head over to go.eliteagentsecrets.com, or you can just click the link in the description below. Also, just make sure to follow us, hit that subscribe button, and if you get any value from this at all, please tell a friend and leave us a review. My name is Andrew Dunn.
And my name is Peter Michael. Welcome to Elite Agent Secrets.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Elite Agent Secrets show. Today we've got Justin Stoddart with you. Now this is a very special guest. He's the author of The Upstream Model. He's the host of The Bigger Real Estate Show. He's a former land developer and home builder, and now he has turned into a people developer and business builder. Today we're going to be discussing the problem with the traditional referral business model, how to scale a business or have a referral business that does scale, and success and significance and how they're not mutually exclusive from each other. Justin's going to be breaking down his three secrets for you all today. Justin, how you doing, my man? Thanks for jumping on the show.
Doing fantastic, buddy. I'm excited to be here. Thank you both for having me.
Dude, this one's going to be a fun one, especially because if you haven't checked out our episode on the Think Bigger Real Estate Show, you definitely should. Little subtle plug for Justin's show. But man, take us back. Give us a little bit of context, because I know we got to kick it and meet a little bit before, but the audience, if they're hearing you for the first time, take us back to like what got you involved in the real estate industry overall. And yeah.
Take us on the journey.
Yeah, I can. I'll take you way back, right? My dad was a real estate agent growing up. My stepmom also a real estate agent, and I came back from having served a church mission for 2 years overseas. And my dad and stepmom say, "Hey, we're flipping houses. Let's go!" Wait, they put me to work right away, and at the same time I was working for like $15 an hour, loading UPS trucks. And I was making $15 an hour over here and $10,000 every flip. And I was like, what am I doing working hourly? It started to work on my brain a little bit to realize like, wait a minute, there's a much better way to earn money than pushing the clock. And I knew that like my job at the time wasn't a long-term thing, right? It was setting me up for college. It was preparing me for kind of what was next. But it started to kind of plant that seed. As I went off to school, I actually went and started working for a home builder, and that developed into kind of a real passion of mine, in the sense that I started building luxury custom homes and started to develop land with him. And in that process, I was able to, fortunate to build a great company, eventually purchased the book of business from him and started my own general contracting company. Did that for a number of years, and then the market started to turn. And at that point, I say it was a great opportunity for me to realize that I really didn't love developing land. I really didn't love building homes. What I really loved was developing people. And what I really loved is building businesses. And so I began to seek out a career at that point that would allow me to do that. I had little glimpses of that, and that's the part that I loved. But the part that I was missing, right, was this opportunity to do that full time, to really spend my time developing people so that they could build their business. So that's kind of how it all began. Was recruited as an executive of a title company to help expand the title company in my region here. And then in that process, I had the opportunity to be knee to knee with agents all day, every day. Ended up getting my license, and now have the opportunity to coach, consult, and work with agents again to develop them and to build their business. It's super fun. Absolutely love it.
That's amazing. So when you got your license, did you go and did you sell? What did that look like? Give us a little bit of context, because I'm sure you were coaching agents at the time, especially with all of your experience up until that point, right?
Yeah, really. My sales mostly happened when I was, building custom homes, right? Oftentimes we kind of take a look at, like the process of getting a listing, right? Like getting this listing appointment. And it can be intimidating, especially when you're working with high-end clients. And I tell people that it's even more challenging when you're not there to sell the home or list the home, but you're there to build the home. Like there's a dirt lot and they've got to entrust you with the process of being with them for 12 to, you know, 18 months at times, depending on the size of the house, to help them take it from nothing up until that. Like that's a more difficult listing appointment when they're like, wait a minute, you look like you're 20. I'm like, no, I'm 25. And they're like, still, there's a lot of money and a lot of responsibility to put on a young man. And so really that's kind of where my sales journey began as far as like selling homes.
You'll be great at selling the dream right there, haven't you? You really got to take people on like, just imagine this and this and this. I know it looks like a big pile of dirt because that's what it is. But yeah, give me 24 months and you're going to have this beautiful XYZ. That's a tough sell. Like, because you've really got to be good at helping people imagine the end result with nothing to show, like nothing.
You know, it's a great point, Andrew, is I didn't realize the challenge of the time because I hadn't sold any other real estate, right? And so at that moment, though, like what I realized is that the way to win, oftentimes people will just, they'll try and focus on their silo, right? Their kind of silo of, okay, this is the job description of a builder. This is the job description of a real estate agent. And I'm going to just going to build a better mousetrap, right? I'm going to do this a little bit better. And the way to win, I found, is to say, okay, what are the concerns that no other builder or no other real estate agent is addressing? Because there are concerns prior to building or selling a house. There's concerns after you build and sell a house. And if you can look at outside of that typical job description of what you're being hired to do and start to pluck a few things out from before and a few things out from after and wrap those into your offer, it's amazing what happens is people are like, oh, you're going to take care of that. We've been worried about that. Oh, you're going to take care of that afterwards. We've been worried about that. And now all of a sudden, they feel more safe, right? Even though maybe my resume wasn't as deep as many of the people that I was competing against, I had the ability at that point to convert clients to me simply because I was taking care of a few more concerns than what anybody else was talking about, right? That were bothering people. And I think, you know, when we look at like a sales career, we have to, especially in a day and age when big tech firms are trying to commoditize all agents or professionals in general, right? They're trying to make them all look the same so they can line them up and have their algorithm coupled with those kind of all commoditized agents and have people come to that platform to choose an agent, right? Whereas if you can differentiate and say, yeah, that's what the typical agent does, but I also do this and this, now all of a sudden you've differentiated. Now people can't compare you on price because it's not the same thing. That's a real lesson that I learned and that I help agents to do now.
Do you find that was your biggest challenge? And if not, what was your biggest challenge in basically selling the dream of something that didn't exist, right? Because we always are thinking of, okay, you got the better mousetrap. We are somewhat being commoditized. How do we paint the picture? This is something that we always get from new agents. It's like, how do I compete with somebody who has a bigger rap sheet than me?
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest thing is most agents and professionals in general have a bit of a one size fits all. Mm-hmm. And they step into an appointment and they've got their dog and pony show and they've done it 100 times. And they're really kind of taking a look at like the general concerns that they think their clients have. And people oftentimes, especially when they're making an important decision like a real estate move, they just want to be heard, right? And rather than having your pre-packaged presentation ready to go, have it a pre-packaged a kind of block of curiosity and questions where you come in and you're really curious about, now tell me about this. How are you feeling about this? Once you go from like getting them talking to getting them talking about how they're feeling, now all of a sudden there's this connection. Once you have connection, now all of a sudden they'll listen to you. And it's not just say, yeah, go through your little marketing spiel and show me the, you know, your credentials and how your clients love you, blah, blah, blah. They care, but they don't care. They care about what's inside of them. And until you expose that, you're just another agent. You're just another professional. But once you get them talking, especially about how that makes them feel, just keep digging, keep getting curious, right? Once you do that, now all of a sudden it's a different game and people really start to trust you and they feel like you're there for them. You're not there for you, right? It's just not another transaction to add to your list of, you know, and your trophy case of all the success that you've had. Like they're hearing every other agent talk about, but they really genuinely feel like you're there for them, yeah. which is what they want. Right? That's why they're hiring.
The age old saying is people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? That's like what we're talking about. It's like show 100%. Them that you actually give a shit and then they'll listen to what you've got to say.
Well said. Well said.
Or we always say two ears, one mouth, right?
Yep.
Got to make sure that they're being heard, that you're actually listening to them and that they have some kind of reassurance that you're just not going to make them another unit on your goal sheet or however you keep track of things.
Totally.
I think it's always a bit of a balancing act when you're an agent, because you've got to be like true and authentic and have clients' needs and serve them to the highest level. But at the end of the day, you're not a charity and this is a job and you're here to earn money. And it's like, so people, I think a lot of people feel division within themselves because of that, because they do want to be of service and people are like, can't you just help? And it's like, you have to prioritize also the ones that are going to make you money, because listen, you've got bills to fucking pay like everyone else does. And I think that's also something that people can struggle with. And I think you get both sides where some people just don't give a fuck and it's just about the money. And some people probably get too much and they don't make enough. And it's just the nature of the beast. But what I want to do is your first topic, I love, because it's going to ruffle a bunch of feathers. So it's kind of my style. Your first topic is the problem with the traditional business by referral models.
Yeah,
I want you to unpack why that is kind of your first secret to success and obviously the problems.
Yeah, I love it. I'll take you back to when I was a high-end home builder that I had purchased this book of business assuming that it would be just as easy to continue to get business as my former employer had made it appear. And I quickly realized it wasn't as easy as he had made it look. Like it was, there's a whole separate business of getting new business. Just because I was good at building the homes doesn't mean that people were just going to flock to me, right? I had to go get the business. And so I began to be coached by an organization, still love this, you know, this organization to this day, but they told me to build a big database of all my friends and clients and to stay in contact with them. Now, this was a good idea. Like some referrals started to come, but my goals were up here and my referrals were not getting me there. So I had a choice to make. Do I just lower my goals? And the answer is always no, right? And well, it's okay. Well then, like, do I go cold market? Do I, you know, start like buying leads, which were not very good, converted at a low rate? It's like, well, no. Well, I go, what's the other option? Do I just spend all my nights and weekends when I'm doing this for a family that I love? I spend all my like nights and weekends out networking and building a bigger and bigger database to try and get to get those warm referrals to keep up with my goals. And it was like, well, that sucks too, right? So what I found is that the traditional way in which people teach you to build a referral business takes so much time, because relationships take time. And so it doesn't scale well. And so many people say, look, I'm not going to do, like, I'll do business by referral, friends and clients, I'll serve them, but I'm really going to focus on the cold market business. I'm going to buy leads, and they get great at that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's some people who are like, man, I would prefer to get warm referrals over cold leads. In fact, I think most people are in that boat, right? But it's like, well, how do I get enough of them that I can actually satisfy my goals? Because my friends and clients aren't keeping up with my demand. Well, that's where I really uncovered a new model. I call it the upstream model. It's actually authored a book on that topic. And what I realized is that the traditional referral model principles are right? Like connect with people, add value to them, stay in contact with them. Like those will never go away. But the problem is we were taught to apply them to, again, just friends and clients. And the reality is that the average consumer really only has the ability to refer us a couple times a year at best, right? You think about your very best clients, the ones that you love, you'll oftentimes say, well, that person refers me like a piece of business every year. They're the best. I'm like, well, that's not that good. Like one deal a year? Like that's hard to live on, right? So what if you could take those same principles and instead of applying them to the average consumer, friends and clients, what if you were to take those principles and apply them to other business professionals who are upstream from a real estate transaction? Let me tell you what I mean by that. As a high-end home builder, I identified that an architect was upstream from me. In other words, every one of his clients was going to need a builder next. And so every conversation that he was in had the potential to be a referral to me. Now, all of a sudden, we're not talking about a referral a year, like someone in my database. I'm talking about somebody who could give me a referral every month, every week, right? What would it look like if you were to take those referral relationship-based principles and actually apply them to somebody that could really help you, right? Not one a year, but one a week, right? 50 referrals a year. Now we're talking. Now I can live off that, right? Now I can build a great business that scales. And so that's really where I dug in to apply that in my own business. And where I now teach real estate agents to apply that same principle is, yes, if you want to be warm market, if you want to work by referral, you don't have to be, okay, well, then I guess I got to have a smaller business, right? And that's sometimes what we think is like, I'm going to go big and I'm going to buy a bunch of leads and build a sales team, or I'm going to kind of keep it boutique and I'm going to have this referral business. I'm saying, no, you can have both. You can have both. You can have a business that scales. It just depends upon who you build relationships with. There's certain professionals upstream from a real estate transaction, and all day, every day, those professionals are uncovering the fact that their clients are going to need a real estate agent next. The only problem is they're not referring to a real estate agent. And that's what I dug into and really uncovered why and solved. Why not? Why aren't you referring to an agent?
So interesting you bring this up, because this is, you know, we've heard this concept before, just in maybe with a little bit of a different flavor. Which professionals in the real estate transaction, or that you can identify, uncover the real estate transaction needs that you can share with us and the audience?
Meaning which, like, professionals are upstream from a real estate agent?
Correct. Like, we know it's like, you know, title, a mortgage loan officer, right? Inspector, mm-hmm. Appraiser. I know there's a few other ones I'm not going to mention, but I want to see which ones you have and see what that looks like.
Perfect. And I'll tell you, this is a dynamic moving target. I'll tell you why. I coach agents specifically on this, right? This is what I help them do. We go deep for 90 days. I help them find upstream partners and turn those into very profitable referral machines for them. And it's because I've got new people coming into my organization all the time. They have different relationships and a different twist. So I teach like the low-hanging fruit, but they're helping me to uncover all kinds of new ones that I never would have expected. So I'll just rattle off some, right? A financial advisor on average, I've found, has about 18 opportunities to refer a real estate agent every year. 18.
Awesome. We share the same one. So that's check.
Property manager has the opportunity, right? People are buying and selling. Mm-hmm. Okay? Insurance agent, like a property and casualty insurance agent. They are regularly talking to their clients about, are you properly insured? What properties do you own? What properties are you going to own, right? That conversation is happening all the time. A lender, you nailed that one, right? Mm-hmm. Now, oftentimes you get lenders that are there to either just pay for advertising or to get referrals, but you find a good one who's actually generating their own business. They can be a great upstream partner. Attorneys, whether it be a state attorney, family law attorney, right? Those are great ones as well.
Right, those are a few. How about a bankruptcy attorney?
100%. Yeah. In fact, funny you say that. Just 2 weeks ago, I was up in Seattle speaking at an event and I sat down next to an agent, and I'd heard about her that she had built a business around this. And she said, yeah, I'll get like 50 to 75 listings at a time from bankruptcy attorneys, right? From like these, you know, whether it be probate attorney or estate attorney, like they've got oftentimes people who have large portfolios of properties, and they're just dealing with a lot of people that are you know, liquidating their properties. So yes, another great one.
How about a CPA?
Yes,
somebody who looks at somebody's financials at least once a year, and the question goes, how much taxes would you like to pay?
Right. Yeah, another great one. You know, some unexpected ones that I wouldn't have expected. A moving company, right? You think that a moving company would be downstream from a real estate agent, right? You choose your real estate agent and then you choose your moving company. Sometimes it's not the case. They have a quote from a moving company. How long is this going to take? Like how much? You know, finding the right moving company. And I always say this, even if somebody is seemingly downstream from you, you can turn them into an upstream partner by teaching them how to have a consultative conversation with their clients and simply ask the question, why are you updating your flooring? Why are you painting your house? Are you going to be here for a long time? Are you here for a short time? And you teach them that. It makes them more valuable to their clients because now they're consulting them, not just giving a bid. but they're all, you're also teaching them to uncover the fact as to why they're making updates to their house and maybe they're going to be moving. Great. Do you have a great agent that can really, right, an advisor? Because I have somebody that really is very different than any agent out there. You teach them how to refer you and incentivize them properly.
Well, one of the other ones that we have that most people don't think about is like a wedding photographer or wedding videographer.
I love it.
People are getting married. They're going to have to move.
Yes.
Right? Like that could be a big referral source.
So I've got a conversation today with an agent that's looking at my coaching offering, and his in-laws own a wedding planning organization. He's like, I know they're close to having these conversations. I said, yes, they're close. And with a little bit of training, they will be uncovering these at every one of their consultations, right? Like a potential referral. He's like, I love it. Teach me how to do that. So yeah, love it.
On the flip side of weddings, depending on state rules though, is divorce.
Yes. Divorce attorneys are.
Divorce attorneys, because you can sometimes get one listing and two buyers.
Yeah.
But I know some states allow it and some don't. And there's, I'm sure, creative ways around it that some people do with regards, because like you can't pay lawyers. It's all this kind of craziness. So That's one of the ones that you got to check a little bit more into. And we've actually always, we still haven't, and we've interviewed a lot of top agents. We've still not had one on the show. And I'd love to, someone who's grown their business on probate. I'd really love to chat to somebody that's like built, because it's huge business. I mean, yeah. I'm not being funny, but people are dying all the time. Like, it's just a nature of life, right? There are people out there who have made millions and millions of dollars getting listings from just probate. And I'm super curious about like how big they've got it. How are they doing it? Do you know what I mean? Because I just think it would be an interesting conversation, because it's something that people don't really talk about. But when they don't talk about it, it's usually because there's a lot of money being made.
They're not wanting to teach that necessarily, right?
Oh, and by the way, would you consider yourself a maverick? Are you an agent, team leader, broker owner who's constantly striving, pushing boundaries and smashing goals? Well, we've already helped over 100 agents cross $100,000 and up in GCI per year. So if you're interested in learning more about our courses and coaching to help you scale your business, then head over to go.eliteagentsecrets.com.